Hello everyone. Bonjour tout le monde. Je suis ici aujourd'hui avec la vice.
I'm here today with Deputy Prime Minister Freeland and Ministers Anand, Fraser and Wilkinson to talk about what we continue to do to support Ukrainians.
President Putin continued his brutal assault on Ukraine. But Ukrainians have held strong. The whole world is inspired by the strength and intensity of their resistance. And Canada will continue to deliver support for Ukraine's heroic defense against the Russian military. Yesterday, we announced that we would be sending new shipments of military supplies, including body armor, helmets, gas masks, and night vision goggles. Today, we are announcing that we will be supplying Ukraine with anti-tank weapons systems and upgraded ammunition. Of course, this is in addition to our three previous shipments of lethal and non-lethal equipment. It's encouraging to see so many of our partners also stepping up to deliver support and equipment to Ukraine. The international community is rallying to support democracy and the people of Ukraine. The Canadian Armed Forces will also be providing airlift support to transport supplies and aid and to contribute to other NATO efforts. Since this assault began, thousands of Ukrainian families have been fleeing to escape the violence. President Putin has created a refugee crisis. We've said we would be there for the people of Ukraine, and that includes making sure they can find safety here in Canada. We have bolstered our presence in the region and are fast-tracking immigration applications for Ukrainians who want to come to Canada. Pendant qu'on apporte de l'aide.
As we provide assistance to Ukraine, we also continue to work with our allies and partners to ensure that Russian aggression does not go unpunished. Over the past few days, I have spoken with many world leaders, including President Biden, as well as members of the G7 and other European partners. We have discussed developments and our concerted actions. Together, we continue to take further steps to hold President Putin and his oligarchs accountable and to weaken Russia's ability to finance this war they have chosen.
On Saturday, alongside our allies and partners, we announced our support for removing several major Russian banks from the SWIFT payment system. This will leave these banks effectively disconnected from the international financial system. And to prevent the Russian central bank from undermining the impact of our sanctions, we are paralyzing its international reserve assets. As of this morning, Canadian financial institutions are barred from any transactions with the Russian central bank, and we are prohibiting any direct or indirect dealings in Russian sovereign debt. Aujourd'hui, on annonce en plus notre.
Today, we are announcing our intention to ban all imports of crude oil from Russia, an industry that has benefited President Putin and his oligarchs greatly. This industry accounts for more than a third of Russia's federal budget revenues, and while Canada has imported very little amounts in recent years, this measure sends a powerful message. In addition, it ensures that those who are complicit in President Putin's atrocities cannot escape the consequences of their actions. This is why it was announced that Russian oligarchs will be prevented from using their wealth to buy citizenship abroad and avoid the consequences of sanctions.
The Russian government is now experiencing the severity of our coordinated sanctions. It is increasingly clear that President Putin has made a grave miscalculation. Today, the ruble plunged to record lows and the Russian stock market was forced to close. People across Russia and around the world are taking to the streets, demanding freedom for Ukraine. Our message is clear. This unnecessary war must stop now. The costs will only grow steeper, and those responsible will be held accountable. En ces moments difficiles,
in these difficult times, it is important to continue to rely on the facts. In Russia, President Putin continues to block the independent media and uses the state-controlled media to spread falsehoods and propaganda about his unwarranted war. Such misinformation will not be allowed to spread in Canada.
The CRTC is an independent body, and we will be asking them to begin the process to review Russia Today's presence on Canadian airwaves. The rigorous process is important when it comes to the independence of media in our country. But even ahead of that decision, major providers are already removing RT proactively. There is a significant amount of disinformation circulating from Russia, including on social media, and we all need to keep calling it out. Our government will continue to be a leader on this. Those who are witnessing the truth are seeing civilians being targeted, grandparents joining the fight, families with young children sheltering in subway stations, and people fleeing to the border with only a suitcase. These images are heartbreaking, and they lay bare the human costs of war. To support relief efforts in the region, our government continues to provide humanitarian aid. Canadians are stepping up to help Ukrainians, and we are ready to match that help. So, if you donate to the Canadian Red Cross Ukraine Humanitarian Crisis Appeal, our government will match your donation up to $10 million. This is in addition to the $50 million for development and humanitarian aid we've already committed. To the people of Ukraine, your bravery is truly remarkable. The whole world is watching your courage and your strength. We are deeply inspired as we honor your fight for freedom, for democracy, and human rights. Canada stands with you. Slava Ukraini. Merci.
Thank you, Prime Minister. Dr. Martin Luther King believed that the arc of the moral universe is long, but that it bends towards justice. He also knew that there are evil men in the world who seek to thwart that benign curve and push us all back into darkness. Because of those men, there are moments in history when the great struggle between freedom and tyranny comes down to one fight in one place, which is waged for all of humanity. In 1863, that place was Gettysburg. In 1940, it was the skies above Britain. Today, in 2022, it is Kyiv. Aujourd'hui, dans les rues Paris.
Today, in the cobbled streets of this golden-domed city, a fierce, united people, led by their confident president, are fighting a barbaric invasion. The brave Ukrainian people are fighting for themselves, and they are also fighting for all of us. Indeed, at this moment, Ukraine is bravely positioning itself as the moral voice of the free world.
I bow my head in solemn respect to Ukraine and to all Ukrainians. Canada is proud to stand with you. But there is another side to this story. While brave Ukrainian civilians gamely learn how to make Molotov cocktails to defend their homes, one of the world's most brutal war machines is bombarding them. Not content to terrorize his own people, President Vladimir Putin is seeking to impose his tyranny on his democratic, freedom-loving neighbors. In launching this war, President Putin attacked the values and the international rules-based order, which are the foundations of all of the democracies of the world. And in so doing, he and his hangers-on have forfeited the right to partake in the global prosperity which we, the world's democracies, have built together. C'est pourquoi, en partenariat.
That is why, in partnership with Europe and the United States and the United Kingdom, we now have in place the toughest sanctions ever imposed on a major economy. No Canadian financial institution, including the Bank of Canada, will transact with the Russian Central Bank. The entire world is now acting to stop Russian banks from using the SWIFT payment system. These measures will cut Russia off financially from the Western world. They will render useless much of the war chest that Vladimir Putin has amassed in his central bank.
And to our Russian counterparts, who are today struggling vainly to prop up a ruble in free fall, let me say, we warned you. 12 days ago, I urged the governor of the Russian Central Bank not to allow her government to launch an illegal and unprovoked war. I cautioned her that if Russia took this horrible step, it would be, as Talleyrand reportedly said, worse than a crime. It would be a mistake. The West's economic sanctions, I warned, would be swift, coordinated, sustained, and crushing. They are, and they will continue to be. Dictators, very much including the Kremlin's tyrant, often fail to understand democracies. We can seem to them to be weak and divided compared to the servile conformity that they impose on their societies at the barrel of a gun. But our very openness to debate and dispute means that once we are agreed on a course of action, we are strong and we are united. The people of Ukraine are today showing the incredible strength of a free people fighting for their democracy. And the world's democracies are equally resolute in our support for the brave people of Ukraine. This is one of those times and one of those places where freedom confronts tyranny. We are determined that freedom will triumph. And it will. Slava Ukraini. And now I hand over the floor to my colleague, Sean Fraser, our Minister of Immigration.
Bonjour tout le monde.
Hello, everyone.
Monsieur Poutine est une guerre contre la liberté.
This is a war against democracy and against the rights of all Ukrainian people.
In the face of this conflict, we'll stand steadfast with the people of Ukraine. We expected, upon reports of a potential further invasion into Ukraine, that we would see displacement of Ukrainians. That's why we started preparing more than a month ago, to ensure we had the ability to respond to a potential influx of people seeking to come to Canada. Since January 19th, we began processing applications in our existing inventory or within Immigration, Refugees and Citizenship Canada on a priority basis. To date, there have been nearly 4,000 applications that have been approved. This is across all lines of business, and we're going to continue to offer that expedited processing. We also knew that we had to prepare on the ground for the situation when people would flee to the West. Minister Joly was able to negotiate the safe passage for Canadian citizens, permanent residents, and their families as well, to ensure that they could escape a potentially violent conflict. We beefed up the resources in our offices in Warsaw, in Vienna and Bucharest to ensure that we would have the capacity to process people who found themselves seeking to come to Canada or to make an application. Nous traitons en priorité les demandes de documents de voyage pour les citoyens.
We are prioritizing the processing of travel documents and passports for Canadian citizens and permanent residents so that they can return home as quickly as possible.
Gated service channel. This is a tool that allows people seeking information about the immigration process to get information, and I want to ensure that people can get information that they can rely on in an age of misinformation and disinformation. For those who are seeking to get assistance or to have information, I would urge you to call the telephone line that we established at 613-321-4243. I'll repeat that for those who are listening. 613-321-4243. Applicants and those with questions can use the web form and use the keyword Ukraine 2022 in their web form inquiry, and their email will be given priority. Once again, the keyword is Ukraine 2022. Nous avons également lancé le traitement.
We have also triggered the urgent processing of travel documents and passports for Canadian citizens and permanent residents. And some passports are given in as little as 24 hours.
We know that you can't go home right now, so we've taken steps to make it easier for you to stay. We've made the decision to extend temporary status and issue open work permits to Ukrainian visitors, workers, and students who are already in Canada. Nous éliminons également les frais de demande.
We are also waiving application fees for passports, permanent resident documents, proofs of citizenship, visitor visas, and study and work visas.
Immigrants, many of whom were forced to flee war and persecution many years ago, have helped build the country that we love so much today. The people-to-people connections between Canadians and Ukrainians justify an extraordinary response. Tous les Canadiens se sont unis pour soutenir le courage.
All Canadians support Ukraine.
It's unfold, and the profiles and courage that we're witnessing is an absolute inspiration to the world. And it's helped create an attitude of wanting to do more amongst the Canadians that I'm speaking with. Over the past week, I've heard directly from the Ukrainian-Canadian community, the Ukrainian-Canadian Congress, and businesses across the country on how best to welcome Ukrainians in Canada. In this dark hour, we are with you. I can assure you that we're working to prepare additional measures, and in the near future, we will have more to say to identify the best path forward to welcome more Ukrainians to Canada in the safest and quickest way possible. Thank you so much. I'll now share the microphone with my colleague, Minister Anand.
Good afternoon, bon après-midi. I know that there are many Canadians watching Putin's horrific attack on Ukraine who want to know how they can help and what we as a country are doing to help. Depuis le premier jour,
Since day one, Canada has been there for the army and the Ukrainian people.
Canada has been there for Ukraine's military and its people. Over the past few years, our Canadian Armed Forces have trained over 33,000 Ukrainian soldiers to help them prepare for the very type of attack that they are facing today. Then, as Russia continued to amass troops at Ukraine's border, we announced last month the extension and expansion of that very training mission, Operation Unifier. Since Russia breached and violated Ukraine's borders, we've increased our support by approving and delivering approximately $10 million worth of non-lethal and lethal aid to Ukraine this past month, which arrived on Ukrainian soil prior to the onset of these further hostilities. To bolster the Ukrainian people's strong resistance against Putin's increasing aggression, yesterday, Minister Joly and I announced that we would be providing additional non-lethal aid, ranging from body armor to gas masks, plus additional airlift support, facilitated by up to 50 Canadian Armed Forces personnel, both to ensure that this aid gets there and to support NATO's efforts in the region more broadly. The first such plane left for Europe today, with the second later this week. And now, at the further request of Ukraine and in coordination with NATO allies, we are announcing today that we are providing even more lethal aid to Ukraine and will be sending 100 Carl Gustav anti-tank weapons systems and 2,000 rockets, which we will be working to deliver as quickly as possible in the coming days. Comme nous l'avons annoncé,
as we announced last week, we are reinforcing NATO's plan. And the Canadian Armed Forces are ready to be deployed. And they are ready to support Global Affairs Canada and the Department of Immigration in their humanitarian actions.
I want to express my deepest thanks to our Canadian Armed Forces for the critical work they have done to prepare our Ukrainian friends for this fight, and who continue to answer the call to defend Canada, our allies, and the rules-based international order. Slava Ukraini.